59 degrees. 59 degrees is the average winter temperature of where I grew up. And we really thought that that was cold. I remember growing up and we'd go to the Christmas tree farm and we'd get around the burn barrels because it was so cold. We'd get on our thick jackets and, you know, there in the valley, and we'd warm up and drink hot chocolate and, you know, go everywhere you would go in the wintertime. And I know it's the dead of summer, but I wanted to take us back to a little different temperature change. But everywhere you would go in the winter, whether it was to walk around what we kind of like how they have in Wichita, where you walk around the garden area and look at lights. We had the same thing out there. I mean, there was burn barrels constantly everywhere that people could stop and warm themselves on. And it did get a little colder than that. That was the average temperature. But I think looking the stuff up, it was like 10 times a year that it got down to freezing. And when I say it got down to freezing, like it just kind of got to that point. And you'd wake up and it's 10 times a year you'd see a little frost. But I never understood. See, my birthday is on Groundhog's Day. And so I never understood the whole dead of winter thing that you would hear. I never understood why people like freak out so much. I never understood why so many people got around this furry little animal and watched it come out and all the silliness and craziness that came with it. I never understood what it meant to be cold in the winter. And we're not even really all that cold here when you look up at Michigan and Alaska and places like that. I mean, we're cold, but not really that cold. But now I understand. And I also understand why we have the silliness. And it's been happening for generations, for thousands of years. Cultures have kind of put this little thing in the middle of winter, in the middle of the dead of winter, and it's for hope. It's something in the middle of those cold times that help you look forward to spring, that help you look forward to warmer times and food growth and abundance and all the things that come with that life that happens only when things green up. But in those moments of cold and dead and brown, the moments of green seem so far away. And that's exactly, it's actually, it gets to the heart of a very human question. When is it going to get green again? When is this cold winter going to move on? And it's not just the temperatures. Sometimes it's life. And that's where the idea of the dead of winter comes from. Because sometimes our circumstances have gotten us frozen in this place. Our emotions seem to freeze. Our souls freeze up in those times when life just gets hard. All right? And that's where we find the people of Jerusalem in the book of Lamentations. And the book of Lamentations, it's five chapters. And each chapter is a poem. And it's just doing that. It is lamenting what is happening to them as a people. It is the time where Babylon has come through and it has sacked Jerusalem. And it is taking it over. It has taken the temple down. Destruction everywhere. Homes, food supplies, the walls around the city, everything is gone. And in fact, the exile starts, where they start taking people out and moving them to Babylon and leaving behind this remnant of people that are left to fend for themselves. And the end of Lamentations, it's not a book that ends with joy and happiness. It is a book written cover to cover in the midst of that horrible time. Except for one part, right in the middle. Five chapters in the third chapter, in the dead middle of that third chapter, The third chapter is written from the perspective of one individual. It's most likely the author who we think is Jeremiah, but it's written from his perspective of what's going on. And in that moment, we see a glimpse of hope. And from the first verse all the way to here, all we hear is destruction and grief and agony. And even in the verses that start, chapter 3, verse 19, it kind of sums up everything that has happened to that point. And it says, "The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words." And that bitter is actually, it's kind of like an ingesting, a bitter, poisonous a plant that grows there. "I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss." Everything to that point is summed up, and everything moving on from that point is summed up in this little part. But there's a pivot. And their own little Groundhog Day, in the middle of all this destruction, there is a pivot. And it's starts at verse 21. "Yet I still dare to hope." And this word "dare," this is only found in the NLT. And to get a little nerdy, the NLT is what's called a dynamic translation. So it's not just word for word. They also want to bring the emotion of the situation through context and through phrases and verbs and everything in the original language. And so that point, the NLT puts "dare." And "dare," that "dare" is an act of courage. It's an act of defiance against the destruction and everything going on up until that point. I dare to hope. When I remember this, and Jeremiah, when he remembers this, he's going back through his entire life when he's seen God come through time after time after time, when he has seen God move his people, move himself through some hard circumstances. And he is also remembering every scripture that he's ever read, from Genesis, Exodus, every book that he's actually dove into and studied, where God has shown up for his people in the most dire of circumstances. Without fail, God shows up so he can dare to hope in these. He can take courage in this hope when he remembers this. Verse 22, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease to exist." This faithful love, again, sorry for all the nerdiness, but it's actually, now I'm going to try to speak Hebrew, so don't make fun of me too bad. But it's one word, and just like Greek, we know that there are several different words for love. It's the same in Hebrew. It's chesed. Chesed. And what that is it is a love, the NLT goes faithful love, NIV goes great love. And so they try to compound words to bring out a little more what it is, but there is no one-for-one translation in any language ever. This is a one-of-a-kind word, and it's again, faithful love is part of it, steadfast, loving-kindness, mercy, faithful love. The Bible Project really pushes loyal love. It's a covenant relationship. It's a love that's built out of this covenant relationship. And also, it is unchanging. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's going on, that love is unchanging. And this isn't a love that's built on feelings. There's other words for that. This is a love that's built on action. It is an action word that no matter what happens, God is going to come through because he is who he says he is. And his kindness and his faithfulness and his generosity, it all boils down to this. And from this part, this is where, again, we dare to hope is because of this word right here. And also everything that moves, that flows from in a positive language for the rest of this passage right here, it is also, it fully comes from this part. So all of Jeremiah's hope comes from God's chesed. And let's see, sorry, I'm skipping stuff here. His mercies never cease. That's pretty straightforward. Great is his faithfulness. Verse 23, his mercies begin afresh each morning. His faithfulness is again, it's pulling back to that chesed love. His faithfulness is, and his mercies begin afresh every day. So no matter what happens, no matter what that day holds, because it's going to change, the hard stuff in life is going to change day after day after day, God's mercies will step in and cover the junk that life throws at us, right? His mercies are fresh every day. So I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. And the inheritance is just that. When inheritance is passed down from generation to generation, it is an act of security, right? It's securing the future. So no matter what's going on, his inheritance comes down and it secures my future. It is secure in his love. And again, because we know that love brings security, he can dare to hope no matter what those circumstances may bring. It doesn't matter that the temple has been destroyed and their ability at that time, their whole worship system was set up on that temple. It is gone. But Jeremiah knows that God's going to make a way. Their livelihood, their leaders, everything, it is gone. But we can trust and know that we are secure in God. Early on in my journey, I got to see someone dare to hope, and it was my wife, Christy. So early on when I met Jesus, she went on bed rest with Grayson. Now, some of you have heard this story before, but 4 months she has spent going from the bed to the couch to the bed to the couch, and that's about it. 4 months we lived with the idea that at any time, 1 to 2 doctor's appointments a week, that we could lose our son. And this moment was coming off the heels of already having one miscarriage, through another really hard time of losing her grandma. But in that moment, and all the fear, and all the angst, and all that life brought us in that time, I watched her hold on to hope. I watched her hold on to that chesed of God. And in those moments, I watched her stand firm on worship songs each and every day, things that would turn her heart to God and help her remember those promises that he has given each and every one of us, even when things get hard. I watched her pull out scripture. She had a set of scriptures that she would rely on each and every day to get her through that moment, because she knew that God chesed, even though she probably didn't know what that word was at the time. She knew God's love would come in and cover and make a way, no matter what the outcome was. God's love would come in and make a way. And I tell you, I feel like we've had those moments more than we should in life, more than our fair share. I mean, as a parent, you watch your kids go through sickness and injury and all that stuff, diagnosis with medical stuff with Christy, and just on and on and on. But every time we got to dare to hope in that love. So where are you? Where are you in this moment? Where has life turned to bitter and cold and freezing? Are you finding yourselves burned out by a life that's too fast-paced for you to keep up with, and the pressures and the stresses? Are you grieving a loss? Are you in moments of just sadness from what this life has to offer? Or are you one of those who are here in summer right now, but I guarantee you a winter's coming. A winter is coming. And if we do not set ourselves up to remember in those moments now, when things are green, when things turn brown, it's going to get so much harder to rely and see the promises of God in those hard times. So where are you? Because I guarantee you, you're not alone. Each and every person in here has gone through a winter, they're going through a winter, or they're getting ready to go through a winter, because that is life in this world. And the great thing is, God has made a way. And it's the way that Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of the prophets in the Old Testament, it points forward, even though they may not have known what God would ultimately do to make that way for us, to change our future, to make all days a brighter day, to help us get through those winters of life. And it's Jesus. He stepped in to this world and he experienced winter. He stepped in to this world and he loved us. Even when we were nailing him to the cross, he loved us. Because that, again, that hesed. It's not built on fuzzy feelings, because fuzzy feelings go away. It's built on loyalty, and it's built on trust, and it's built on knowing that our God will always be the same. He will always be faithful because of who he is, not who we are. And the easiest thing right now is to go into probably the most popular verse in the world, and even exploded thanks to Tim Tebow years ago. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. At the very minimum, we can remember that. We can hold on to that no matter what's going on. And it's so much more than that. So we're in the middle of the summer playlist. It's our summer series, and it's actually called the B-side, and we have a little play on that, because the B-side, except for Kent, every one of us, all the associates, pastors, have a B in our name somewhere. Brandon has it in his first name. The rest of us, Blank, Bowerly, Briner, we all have it in our last name, and we love to play this up. In fact, when we have a text message thread whenever Kent's on vacation or not around, and it's called the B team. So we love to play that up, and especially when we come into the summer and in July, when we're the ones that preach and everything else, we love to play on that B team idea. And so we get the summer playlist, the B side, and what it is we did this a few years ago, and we pointed to songs that meant something to us, and this, we're specifically going after worship songs. And because Dustin loves me so much, he's playing a song that they have never played before, because my choice in music is a little different than others may be. But it's called Evergreen. And as they come out, Evergreen is a song is just that. In the deepest, darkest winters, God is that evergreen that is unchanging. When death is all around it, when everything is brown and ugly, God is beautiful and he's moving and he's working and he is alive. He is alive in those moments where nothing else is. So all we have to do is look towards him. And you're going to see a lot of words that we've already talked about in this song. The greater your ways, that's just simply bringing out this idea that even when we can't see it, we know God is moving, we know he is working, and we can trust in his ways because they're great and they're so much better than ours. A faithful father, constant friend, this idea, these words of continued love that's never going to change, that we can't ever get away from because it's who God is, not who we are. So in this moment, you guys, a lot of you guys aren't going to know the words. So it is okay to just sit and watch and take in the words of this song. It's going to start out kind of slow, and then it finishes really high. And it is a song that now helps me get through those winters. It is something that I hold on to, that I remember when things get dark and cold. Sound good? Again, if you can read along, worship. If you just need to take it in, then just take it in. But in these moments, if you don't know who Jesus is, and you don't have that hope, now's the time to give yourself over to him. Because I promise you, your life will never be the same if you take that step forward. I promise you. And for whatever winter you're going through right now, now's the time to just give it to him. Let's pray. Let's worship. God, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that your love has no end. It's always faithful, always gracious, full of mercy for whenever and whatever we may do. God, we thank you most of all that you are a generous God that loves us so much. And in this moment, we are going to give it to you, whatever we're holding on to. We are going to come to you with it. And God, we thank you so much. And we are going to remember your promises. We are going to remember your love. We are going to remember your faithfulness. We are going to do everything we can to bury that in our heart for when things get cold. God, we thank you. And we love you. And it's in Jesus' name.